Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another broadcast of Real Life with Rich in Christ. I'm glad that you're joining me today. You're going to find out that this program is like no other program in Christian media that you're going to either going to hear or you're going to be able to read or probably see anywhere. I don't talk about the status quo of what most of the Christian broadcasting deals with today as far as what it is God is going to do for you and what you have to do to get that. What I'm going to share with you today is what happens in your real life when you're dealing with your real problems and the real relationship that you can have with the real God who loves you exactly as you are, couldn't love you anymore. And the reason this show is called Real Life is because there is so much out there that doesn't deal with real life as far as the believer who's really looking for a deeper and more meaningful relationship with Christ. It's a brand new year, 2015. If you take those numbers and add them up, the 2 and the 5 and the 1, you get the number 8. 8 is the number of new beginnings. 8 is the number of covenant. And so every day in Christ is a new beginning, not only every year, but every day. And in the Psalms, David talks about God crowning the year with his bounty. And so we look at our lives and we see our lack. And then we determine life by that. And God doesn't see that at all. What he sees is he looks at us and he sees us in his Son. And in his Son, we have all things pertaining to life and godliness. And so where is the lack, if you see lack? And most of what you see or call lack comes from what you've probably learned over the course of your life and listening to considered mature Christianity today that has to do with achievement. Or, pretty much what the world runs after. And the Bible says, if you love the world and the things of the world, that the love of Christ isn't in you. And that doesn't mean that you don't love God. That what that's saying is that it's only possible to love one thing at one time. That is the way God designed us. He designed us to live with a single eye towards him, with a single heart towards him. And that's what Matthew 6 is all about. If you've never read the 6th chapter of Matthew, you need to read it because it's the down and dirty of everyday living. And Jesus talks about how we're supposed to live our life in our everyday need. This is the passage where he says, you look at the birds of the air, and look at the lilies of the field. And they're not, the birds of the air aren't worrying and the lilies of the field aren't spinning and toiling. They're resting in the fact that God is going to provide for everything that they need. And Matthew 6 is really the consolation chapter that lets us know that God is in control no matter what it is we're going through, no matter how we see ourselves or how we look at our lives. And you could be sitting today and on the verge of losing your house. You could be sitting, wondering if you're going to be able to keep your job. Or maybe there's something going on with your family or your kids, and you're concerned about that. And all of that, are the real issues of life. that we deal with. But in Christ, because we know that he will never leave or forsake us, and we know that his love is love, his love is love that is always there, but not on the basis of any kind of conditions. His love comes with no strings attached, and in fact, his love is the only love that comes with no strings attached. We can be in that safe and secure place knowing that whatever it is that we deal with or face today, that God has already been there, and God has led us actually to the place where we're at today, so we can know him in a deeper way. I mean, if you think about it as a mature believer, and if you've been crying out to God 10, 20, 30 years to know him in the way that Paul talks about in Philippians chapter 3, in the fellowship of his sufferings and the power of his resurrection, I mean, how is that going to come about? Is that going to come about in an easy believism kind of life? Or is that going to come about, you know, in, you know, your shipwreck and your scourgings and your misunderstandings and your rejection? And what the status quo church, the leadership of the church has not proclaimed down through the years is what Paul talks about and what Jesus talks about and what I call the losing to gain message of the cross. It's where God takes us into those hard places for his purposes that go beyond the limitations of our own human lives. And he takes us there to expand our borders. That was the whole years ago, there was a fad. It turned out to be a fad. I'm sure that Bruce Wilkinson didn't mean it to be that, and it was the prayer of Jabez. And if you go in any Goodwill today or any used bookstore, you'll find a little hardcover book called The Prayer of Jabez. And it was this man, Jabez, in 2 Chronicles, I think it's chapter 4 or 5, where it's going through, the author is going through all of the begats, 2 Chronicles supposedly being this boring book of genealogy, and then he stops on this man, Jabez, and he gives you a little mini biography of this guy's life in just a couple of verses. And, you know, to begin with, he says his name is Jabez, and his mother born him in pain, and the word Jabez means pain. So, you know, that was a kind of Hebrew custom, is that the children would be born according to what was going on in that day. You know, whatever the situation or circumstance or event was, that was, you know, how they named their children. And Jabez was born in pain. I heard a wonderful teaching by Chuck Swindoll years ago, 1991, and it wasn't that his mother bore him in pain, as in the pain of childbirth, but it was more along the lines of Jabez was born into a painful life. Maybe it was poverty or sickness or disease, or who knows. But Jabez, was the least of the least. He was like the Gideon of his family. And he dared to step out and to pray a prayer. And the prayer was, Lord, that you would bless me indeed, that you would keep evil far from me, and that you would enlarge my borders. And the Bible says that God granted his request. And that's exactly the prayer that God answers. Because that prayer had nothing to do with Jabez and Jabez prospering. That had to do with the heart of God in and through Jabez. Jabez wanted his borders expanded in his life. He wanted a greater revelation of who he was in Christ. He wanted to know God. And God granted him his request. And that's just one example of so many throughout the Bible of these people that live their normal, everyday lives. Their lives that, you know, were painful. And just like your life is, dealing with whatever it is you're dealing with. And yet there's millions, multiplied millions of people that go into churches, church buildings, every week. And they're tore up inside because they don't know how to deal with the stuff that's going on inside of them. And they hear a message that basically says, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps with the help of God, and God will come to your rescue. But you know what? That's not real Christianity. Real Christianity is recognizing that our greatest asset, only asset, is our weakness and our inability. And Jesus lays that out for us in John 15. John 15 is, you know, I am the vine, you are the branches verse, where Jesus makes the comparison of us, not the comparison, but he lets us know that there's no separation between us and him, that we are one in him. And whatever we do, you know, we're not calling out to a separated, far-off, distant, impersonal, and punishing God, but we're able to speak to God because he is living in us and as us by his Spirit. And so we can fall down and we can fail and we can live our lives. Philippians 3:15-16, we can, live our lives as we are today. It says, all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear. Only let us live up to what we've already attained. And so that's what our life is about. Our life is about living in the day, doing the next thing, not having to be religious in any way, shape, or form, just living life as you are, in your skin, knowing that God created you exactly as you are today for a purpose that goes beyond anything you could ask, think, or even imagine. And that's hard to do when you're in the trenches, because our weakness is where we get beat up. That's the place where we get beat up. You know, Paul said that, you know, in his passage where he talks about the thorn in the flesh, he says, you know, that the enemy came to buffet him, which means to hit you around the area of the head and batter you around your head. And so that's what, you know, life does. It beats us up. And that happens in our thought life. That happens when we have a different perception of God and of ourselves than what God meant us to have from the foundation of the world. And that is influenced by our history, you know, whatever we're dealing with in our family lives, our culture, you know, the form of Christianity that we believe is real. All of that are influencers onto how we see God and how we see ourselves. I wrote an article a couple of years ago called Perception and Identity, and there's really nothing else in life. Because if you don't have the right perception of who you are or who God is, then your identity is going to be skewed. Your identity is going to be in something other than knowing that God loves you exactly as you are, and he couldn't love you any more than he does right now. That's the lie. And the good news is that it's for freedom that we were made free, Galatians 5:1. You know, I used to think that God saved me for, you know, a purpose, you know, fill in the blank, whatever it is. To be an evangelist, to be a preacher, to lead thousands to Christ, you know, to help people struggling with drugs and alcohol like I used to. But I now know my only purpose, as far as God is concerned, is to just live my life and recognize that it's he who is living my life in and through me as me. He's in me, but he's also as me. In John, I think it's John 16, 13, maybe. You know, Jesus says it's expedient for me to go to the Father, because then I'm going to send you the Comforter. And in another passage in John, I think it's John 14, he says, and he is going to teach you all things concerning me. And in another place, he says, and greater things you will do than what I've done. And you think of that, and you think, well, how can you do greater things than what Jesus Christ has done? You know, are you going to raise the dead? Are you going to turn water to wine? Are you going to, you know, pigs over the cliff? I mean, look at the things that he did. Are you going to walk on water? Are you going to calm the hurricane? Or did he mean greater things as far as numbers and the amount of things, greater than the opposite of less than? Greater things you will do, because he's going to live his life in and through each individual Christian, and he's going to be the influencer of their life in whatever it is that they touch, whoever it is they speak to, wherever they work, whatever person it is they comfort. It's going to look like them, but in reality, it's Christ in them. And that's what real Christianity is about. That's what this program is about. This program is about exposing the lie of the performance-based gospel that says you have to do something for God in order for God to do something for you. That is not love, that is servitude. And a few weeks ago, I was on a walk, and the Spirit of God said to me, you'll never find real maturity in the organized, systemized religion that is known as Christianity today. Because the church today is not about maturity. It's about servitude. And as long as you are a servant, you'll never know intimacy. We are servants of the Most High, but we're not servants in the way that the church has led us to believe that we're servants. We're servants because the one that lives in us is serving. It's not we're serving for acceptance or love, or serving for in some kind of a master-slave relationship. We're serving because we're yielded to the one who is the server. And Jesus said, I don't call you servants. I call you friends. And there's the difference between a relationship that is based in servitude and a relationship that is able to thrive as you live your life as you are, exactly what you're dealing with today. That is the real good news. The only good news is that apart from him, we can do nothing. That is not restriction. That is freedom like there's never been freedom. There is no other freedom than hearing Paul say, it's for freedom that he made us free. Now, it's not for ministry he made us free. It's not for us to go around the world and save the world that he made us free. He made us free so we could live our lives comfortable in our skin, real, open and laid bare before God and each other. And know that our identity has nothing to do with what we have, what we're trying to attain to as far as the world's goals and visions, and anything else that man puts stock in and finds value in. I wrote an article yesterday called To All the Other Successful Failures. You know, the only thing I've ever really succeeded in all of my striving to reach the brass ring in whatever form that was at that time that I was striving for it, was failure. Until I realized that God's version of success is nothing like what I thought success was. And what I learned success was, not only from the world and our culture, but from the church, sad to say. And so I am one of God's most successful failures, because I know that weakness is my greatest asset. I know inability is the way God created me so he could be the ability in and through me. And I know that that will never change. And so I don't have to strive after anything anymore. I'm sitting here looking at our rental house in California. It's 1,200 square feet. My wife, Linda, and I, and our stepdaughter and her two kids are living in this little house. And we just sold our big 3,600 square foot house on 2 acres that, you know, was the new buyers called it their dream house. But to me, it was a prison, because I was wanting to do the next thing and waiting on God for the next thing. And it was bondage to us. And that's the deception of the things that the world loves. That's why the Bible says, if you love the world and the things of the world, then the love of Christ cannot dwell in you. It's not that you don't love God, it's just that you can't love God and anything else. Remember the rich young ruler? Jesus comes along and this man gives him his list of Christian accomplishments. All of these things I've done and I've kept since I was a young man. And Jesus didn't say, you know, you're lying through your teeth. Because there's no possible way any human being can do what you just said. Now, Jesus said, that's good. I commend you on all of that. But he said, this one thing you lack. One thing. And he was saying is that one thing is me. You got lots of stuff. You got lots of money. You've got lots of goals and ambitions and hopes and dreams, but he said the one thing you lack is if you sold all this stuff and you let me pull it down off of your heart, you'd see that the only identity that is any identity, the one that never changes, the one that is the same yesterday, today, and forever, is knowing me. And you, if you knew who was standing before you right now, you would take all that stuff, put a match to it, and follow me. And that's not to say there are things wrong with material things. That's not what I'm saying. It's not to say that it's wrong to have ambitions in business or ambitions in life. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that you cannot love God and love anything else and call yourself a mature believer. That's what I'm saying. That all began, that all happened in Genesis 3. Genesis 3:5, when the serpent said, "You won't die. You won't die if you go and eat of that tree." He said, "Your eyes will be open. You'll be like God. You'll be like God. You'll know good and evil." And you know what? Knowing good and evil is what has destroyed humanity from that point on. And Jesus came as the reconciler of all things to take us from the good and the evil to God, seeing only God, only now. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to share the truth of who you are and to know, God, that you deal with us every day in love in our real life. And, Father, that you unstop the ears and open the eyes of those who are listening today and asking, God, that you reveal yourself to them right now where they're at in their weakness. And that you let them see, God, that they are exactly where they're supposed to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, this is Real Life with Rich in Christ. I've got a 31-day devotional. If you message me on Facebook, I'll send you a free copy posted paid. So until next week, God bless.